This lesson covers Exodus chapters 1 through 4. If you want to read it on your own after a while, it's going to be a quick ride through chapters 1 through 4. The focus verse is pulled from Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to read 13 and 14. Another reason we bring our Bibles to church, our screen's not functioning, I don't think, right now. So follow along if you have it. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. Whatever we have need of today, we serve the I am. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your restorer. Whatever you have need of today, he is the I am. He's not restricted to Old Testament. He's the God of today. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He is here today. Yes, it's early, but you know what? God never slumbers or sleeps, and he has waited all night long for us to come together, for us to be in a place to commune with him, for us to come and to worship him. How many times recently have we heard through tongues and interpretation, come to me. I long to dwell. I long to have communion with you. God longs for us. He wants to have this time with us. So we come to worship him, to praise him, to give time to him, because this world, everything, all the pressures takes so much time. God is so worthy. So when we're here, we focus on him, shut our minds off to distractions, and just pray against any distraction that would hinder you from hearing and seeing the voice of God. The I am is here today. We say that, but do you believe it? Are you in need of something? Close your eyes and just know the I am is more than enough. He is here. He is present. He is with you. He is a covenant-keeping God. I was privileged to get to go to ladies' conference, and they sang a song, He's a covenant-keeping God, and I hadn't heard it before, and it's beautiful, and I was like, God, that's our word, that's our lesson, that's our series that we're working on, and I just love when God confirms his word in so many different ways to remind us and to tell us he is a covenant-keeping God. So today, step out, yield to him, and he will lead you and guide you and go with you just as he did with Moses. So where the lesson picks up, after the first few encounters with Joseph and his brothers, the following years the Israelites settled into a state of comfort. Exodus 1:7 says, And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. So they prospered. They're doing great things. However, they were comfortable, even though they were living outside the borders of the covenant land that God had given them. We see here that comfort is not always an indicator that you're in the will of God. Sometimes the very will of God will have you in a very uncomfortable place. And sometimes being comfortable in his presence is not good, because that might mean you're lukewarm and will be spewing out of his mouth. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be comfortable. We want you to be welcomed and comfortable to feel a part of the church, but not comfortable in our spirits, to not be convicted, to change and to grow and to become what God wants us to become. I don't come to church to be comfortable. I don't want pastor doing a patty cake message to me that's not going to offend or challenge or correct me. No, if there be any hindrance within me, God, reveal it through pastor, through your word, so that I can get it out of the way, so that nothing keeps me from your presence. So sometimes being comfortable is not a good thing. And they were comfortable outside the boundaries of the land. The Israelites were comfortable in Egypt, so much so that they didn't even notice when their comfort turned to crisis. By the time they realized they were in crisis and they began to cry out unto God after years of captivity, They were already in a crisis. God forbid we get to the crisis point before we realize, I need you, God. I can't do this alone. Exodus 1:14 says, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, harsh, terrible, ruthless taskmasters. So although they were miles from their covenant land, the children thought that they were being blessed by God because they were multiplying, because they had prosperous things. Things looked to be going really well. However, they were not. They were so fruitful, though, that Pharaoh began to fear of the amount of them because they were multiplying and they were waxing great in number. And so in Exodus 1:15, 22, it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save. What a terrible decree. Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. So their first cry that is acknowledged in the Bible is in Exodus 2:23. They've suffered years of bondage, but this is their first cry. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Over 40 years of bondage, yet they were comfortable. This was their first cry to God. God heard their cry and remembered his covenant with them. He's a covenant-keeping God. He will always honor his word. So in the midst of Pharaoh's evil decree to kill all the male babies, two Israelites of the tribe of Levi, Amram and Jochebed, found that they were expecting. And here we have the birth of Moses. Acts 7:20 tells us, at this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. That's the English Standard Version. When he was born, Exodus 2:1 through 10 is the account of it, Jochebed, his mother, knew that he was special. And she went against the decree of Pharaoh. She knew that he was special, that he had a purpose. So for 3 months, she was able to hide and to conceal him. And when she could no longer hide him safely, we know she made a basket, wrapped him in a blanket, and placed him in the basket in the Nile River. The same river that would drown so many other innocent children would keep Moses alive and take him to his destiny. The same Red Sea God parted to give the children of Israel safe passage fell in and destroyed their enemy. We know Miriam, his sister, was given the task to watch over him to make sure that nothing happened to him. I don't know much about the Nile. I know there's probably critters in there that would have wanted to maybe get a hold of a little Moses nugget. But thank God, God's protection and favor was on him. So Miriam watched as Pharaoh's daughter drew Moses from the water, and she was in a place where she heard the women talking. And so she risked her own, I think, life or something to go to them, to approach them, to approach the princess and say, hey, I know a woman. Because they're like, his blanket revealed his identity. What he was wrapped in revealed his identity. And that is a whole nother message that can preach. What I am wrapped in reveals my identity. My appearance reveals my identity. God says, be ye separate. Come out from among them. Be ye holy as I am holy. Do all things with modesty and in moderation. That is our blanket. That is our protection in the basket of this world. It is our identifier. When people look at us and they say, do you do this? I don't do it out of pride or vanity, but I've had strangers come up to me because of my appearance and say, hey, could you pray for my child? They're sick. I've had people come to me in the park and ask for prayer. I've been stopped in Walmart, and it's nothing in and of myself, but it's the glory of God and the anointing of God that they see and feel that draws them to that spirit, not to the flesh, but it's the blanket, so to speak, that I am wrapped in. Miriam ran home and told her mother that the princess had gotten Moses and that they needed her to nurse him. So Jochebed was taken care of and provided for taking care of and providing for her own child. Look at the beautiful hand of God. There is no coincidence. That is God's great design. How beautiful. So even though Moses was growing up in the palace and learning the cultures and the things of Pharaoh, every time his mother picked him up in her arms to nurse him, she was speaking truth and she was speaking life into that baby. And the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go and they'll never depart from it. That is why it's so important to dedicate our children to the Lord. That's why it's important to bring them to church, to teach them to listen to the teachers, to teach them to pay attention, to engage them in worship, teach them when they're little how to clap their hands. Little Benjamin, he will copy us now. We'll clap our hands and raise our hands, and he will copy us. That's not just because it's cute. We teach and we instruct them. This is the time of praise. This is a place of worship. This is how we act when we come here. This is what we do, holy unto him, because he is worthy and deserving. Time. God was working and making a way of deliverance. Pharaoh was fearful of living. The one that Pharaoh was fearful of and was afraid was going to rise up, he was raising in his own home. A lot of time you don't realize sometimes how close your enemy, so to speak, is to you. We need discernment, need to watch and pray. God was working and making a way of deliverance, but Moses had to grow up and learn who God was. So in the meantime, you have the children of Israel crying out for a deliverer, crying unto God because of their harsh taskmasters. So it took a little while for Moses to grow up and become a man. But time is not time with God. His time is not our time. Our minds cannot grasp and understand the time of God. So they're crying out, and all along God is working. God has called and anointed Moses from birth to be the deliverer. He preserved him. He anointed him to live and not die in that Nile River. So even though they couldn't see it, God was working. God was already maturing and raising up their deliverer. So if you're in a situation right now that you can't see the deliverance, that you can't see the end from where you're at right now, just know that maybe at this time, your Moses is still maturing. God is working on your behalf. He's a way maker. He's always will fight for you and has only the best for you. We trust, and that's what faith is. When we cannot see, that's when we trust. That's when we reach out and we hold his hand to guide us. When we can't see what's going on, the why, the where, the how, we trust in him because he alone can lead us and guide us. So we know that Moses, when he grew up, there became an altercation. Most of us in here, I think, know the story. He ended up killing someone to protect an Israelite, and he knew what he had done, and so he fled the palace for his life because he knew that they would kill him. So Moses ran from the royalty of the palace to the backside of a dry, hot desert and his destiny. And his destiny. We know Moses married a shepherd, daughter of Jethro, and for years he became a shepherd, and he tended his father-in-law's flock. It wasn't even his. He intended the flock of Jethro. He didn't even possess his own flock. So he went from grandeur in the palace to working for his father-in-law and taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. It looks like to some maybe he hit the bottom of the bottom. But God had him exactly where he needed to be. Why? Because God has a plan, always has a plan. Exodus 3, 1 through 3 tells us, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And can I just tell you that Midian in Hebrew means strife, judgment. It was a place of strife. And he fled and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to the burning bush that was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So even though Moses finds himself on the backside of the desert, tending sheep that is not his own in a hot, dry place with a shepherd's staff instead of royal garments. He was right where God wanted and needed him to be. So let me encourage you today. If you feel like you are on the backside of the desert, let me encourage you that God sees you exactly where you are. And sometimes God not only allows us to be there, but he will place us there so that we realize, God, you are my strength and my portion. It is only by you, in you, and through you that I have my very being. I am nothing without you. My righteousness is as filthy rags. God, it is only you that can move in this situation. And we see God wants us to depend on him. I'm thankful for the things of this world that help, such as doctors and medical fields and medicine. God wants us to run to him. Third world countries have their healings of the blind and stuff so much easier, I'll say, than we do. Why? Because that's all they have is their faith in God. They don't have the doctor to run to. When I was in Haiti, we helped at the medical facility do eye drops and basic care, but they don't have medications to run to help with diabetes and to help with different things with blood pressure. That's why they see their miracles, because their dependency is on God and not man and the things of man. Now, I'm not saying go home and throw away all your medicine. God gives us wisdom, but I'm just saying I try to always, God, I want you to be my go-to. Lord, I want to go to you, and then I'm going to pray, Lord, give me direction, lead me and guide me, and give man wisdom to help whatever process you want to bring this about. I trust you. I trust you in it. So even though Moses was on the backside of the desert, he was right where God wanted him to be. Trust him. Position yourself today. Dalton, I love you and your wife, and I know you're hurting, and I'm so sorry. My friend, position yourself. You've been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. You have a new strength you didn't have before. God's timing is beautiful because now you're prepared. He's with you and in you to help you cope and to deal. He's in this fire with you. You are not alone. So you go to him. I'm thankful you're here today. You stay faithful to the house of God. You stay faithful to the altar and to his presence, because he is the only one who is faithful. He is the only one who can strengthen you and give you the comfort and peace. We can speak life into you and encourage you and pray for you, but you have to carry yourself to God and allow him to minister to you. So we're praying for you, and I'm thankful that you are here today. God is faithful. We are never alone, even when we feel we are alone. My Midian places have been hot. We've all had our Midian times. We've all had seasons of being on the backside of the desert. Every one of us could have a testimony and a story. But I am so thankful for a faithful God that when I come out of that backside of the desert, when he puts that burning bush before me and I turn aside and I stop what I'm doing and I turn off distractions and I step away from things and I enter that secret place, when I put myself in the position of the burning bush, then God will speak to me. A lot of times we're out here treading water and working hard and getting ourselves all up in a frizzy and concern, and God, I prayed for this and that, and I fasted myself to skin and bones, and where are you? And all along, God is right here. He is right here wanting us to trust him. God is not trying to destroy you in your Midian. He is trying to develop you. God is not trying to destroy you. He wants to develop you, just as he did Moses, to commission you to his call. The Midian places is where most of my strength God has given me from my hard times. When it's been the darkest and I've not been able to see a way up or a way out. 2 months ago when Sarah was in the hospital and I had to sign a DNR, that was a Midian. It was a hot, dry place, and I was on the backside of the desert. When you have to pray, God, I can't handle her not being able to breathe. I can't handle her like this. If you're going to take her, just take her. That's a Midian place. But then God is faithful and he speaks from that burning bush, whatever it may be, a pastor, a passage in the Bible, when he speaks to you and says, I see you, I am with you, she is mine. And ever since then, she has had a bowel movement every day, which she's never had her entire life. She has slept better. We got to witness to the nurse that was there and pray for the nurse's dad. His ways are higher than our ways. Did I understand while I was in the desert when it was hot? No. But when I come through it, I can look back and see this was a burning bush moment in my life. And if you stay faithful to God in the backside of the desert, God will always stay faithful to you. He will always bring you through and bring you out. He is a good God. He is a covenant-keeping God. He has said, I will never leave you. A lot of the times when we don't feel him, it's because we have walked away. When we have let down on our prayer life. When we have backed up from fasting. When we have not spent time in the altar and in his presence. And all along, he is still here with outstretched hands. Saying, I'm right here. Just come to me and trust me. Let me be your peace and strength. It is only in him. So we know God speaks to Moses from the bush and calls him to return to the place he fled from. I'm sure Moses kind of had like, oh, okay, God, I know you're God, but remember I killed somebody? Like, are you sure that's where you want me to go back to? Us in our flesh? That would be, I think, a normal response. God wants him to go back. And not just to go back to the land, but straight up in Pharaoh's face. Walk right back into the palace. To Pharaoh and to.
And so we know again for time, I'm not going to read and go through it all. We know that
Moses said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. Are you sure you want me to do this? And so God makes a way. He said, yes, your brother Aaron, I will speak to you and you speak to Aaron and he'll be your mouthpiece. And so God works it all out. And makes a way. And so Moses is like, but God, what if they don't believe me? You tell them, I am that I am sent you. Well, how would I show them? What if they don't believe me still? And so God says, Moses, what is in your hand? His staff, his shepherd's staff, his rod. And so God says, drop your rod. So Moses dropped it and it turned into a slithering serpent. And God said, pick it up. By the tail, he picked it up, and it came right back into the rod. It was a plain rod. Yet in the hand of the anointed man of God, it becomes a weapon. Whatever your rod is today, if you sing and you're in the wilderness, you sing. If you teach and you're in the wilderness, you don't sit down and take yourself out. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling, but I want to remain faithful. And you teach as long as he is okay with that. Whatever your calling is, whatever your commission is, whatever your rod is, that is where your power and your victory is. God anoints each of us. We all have different powers, not powers, but blessings and talents and giftings. Use them for the Lord. That rod, before the Lord touched it, was a stick. Moses never could have turned that in. Moses didn't turn it into a snake that day. It was only when it was in the hand of God, because the hand of Moses was in the hand of God. I cannot tell you how important it is to keep your hand in the hand of God so that every rod becomes a weapon. Every rod is used for his glory and for your protection, for your strength, for your covering. What is in thy hand? And then he tells him to put it in his bosom, and he pulls it out, and it's leprosy. Puts it back in, he pulls it out, and it is clean as before. Time and again, God says, I am that I am, and I'm not sending you to Pharaoh on your own. You're not going alone. I will go before you, and I will go with you. And we know through the rest of the study, Moses, God proved himself faithful over and over and over again. When he would feed, when there was nothing Ravens feed people. When there's no food to eat, manna. When there's crowds and not enough food, there's fishes and loaves. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Whatever you have need of, he has the answer to. We go to him. We position ourselves to hear his voice, to receive his strength, and to follow him. But first, we have to be willing to even be able to see. And a lot of times, I know in my life, there's been times that looking back, God has had a bush for me. But I've been so consumed with what I felt, what I thought, what I wanted. On my whys and my but gods and my excuses, just like Moses. That the whole time, God has this beautiful bush that burns that isn't consumed. That has the direction and his voice to strengthen and comfort me. But I am so consumed in myself, trying to find an answer, trying to do everything that I can. And it's never enough. And all I have to do is to be still, let go, release it, and give it to God and say, God, I can't. But when I put my hand in your hand, then my rod, then my sword, it becomes your sword. My sword becomes your sword. I can speak life. I can pray. I am an anointed, Holy Ghost-filled woman of God. And I don't say that pompous. I say that as a child of God. I pray to be broken and blessed and given and poured out. It is only in him and through him that I am here today. He has saved me and brought me through so much darkness and backsides of the deserts, but he's been faithful. Even when I fell, he was faithful. So today, if you feel you've fallen, still here, and he's faithful, and he's with you. Whatever rod he has given you, be it the word to teach, to speak, to witness, share your testimony, sing your song, whatever God has called you to do, you keep it in your hand. Never lay it down to the things of this world. Last week I was blessed to be able to teach the youth, and it was Jacob and Esau. And I stressed to the youth several times, there is no girl, there is no boy, there's nothing in this world worth trading your salvation and your health for. There is no bowl of soup that this world can offer you for you to trade your heritage, your salvation for. God is worthy. He's so good. He's so faithful. We're going to transition into a time of prayer here in just a minute. But I want to encourage you. Put yourself in a place that he can speak, that all of the distraction of the world, the roar is so loud. Even in our homes, there's just noise. We go to eat. Restaurants are just loud. There's people talking. They have 14 screens playing 14 different things for who knows why, and a different radio on the thing. I have no idea. I don't know why all that mess is there. There's so many distractions. And at home, you go to pray, and you think, oh, did I do that? Did I turn the burner off? And so we get up, and we go check, because we don't want to burn the house down. So we go to pray again. You know, and then, like, Sarah needs something, so I stop and I tend to Sarah and I go to pray again, and then the dog barks. And I mean, distractions always want to come at us. And I, just like this morning, media, technical issues. Thank God our praise and worship is not dependent upon the media and technical issues. God has provided us with every weapon of praise that we need. You have two hands, clap them. If you've got your hands, we raise them. We can stand before the Lord. We can dance like David did. We don't have to have the timbrel, the dance, the harp, and the drums. Our very soul, our voice, our worship is praise. It's the incense unto God. I love music. I love singing. Sarah and I always have music going. We always have. It soothes her. It helps her. I kept it going even in the hospital. I love it. Do I have to have that to get me to a place of prayer? No. We shouldn't have to have a cheerleader. We shouldn't have to be all pumped. I'm thankful, and we've got one of the best anointed praise teams around, and I thank God for them. But if we have technical issues, that does not mean God doesn't want to move. Sometimes I think God takes man out of the picture just to remind us, hey, my strength, my power is what controls. Your worship, your voice can move a mountain. So use it to praise and glorify, worship him. If you're on the backside of a desert, if you're in Midian, please find a place to pray earnestly to God and let him speak to you as only he can from that bush that is not consumed. And then be willing to do what he wants you to do. Say yes to the Lord. Have a willing spirit to go and to do and to be what he's called us to be. Sing. Brother Bill, sing, my friend. If y'all don't know Brother Bill, you need to. When I was young, 14, he's just a little bit older than me. When I was a teenager going to church, he was our music director, our leader. He would lead our praise and worship. He loves the song Stairway to Heaven. And I know that because my mama had me pay attention in church. I love seeing the little hands of sister squires and the elders that went before me shake. And they would clap and you wouldn't hear a sound. But oh, did it echo through heaven beautifully. So if God has called you to sing, you sing. Even if you feel you don't have a platform, you don't have a place so-called to sing, you sing. You sing in the car. You sing at work. Your spirit sings. If you're called to teach, you come to pastor and you say, Pastor, I want to be used. I've laid my rod down, but the Lord has convicted me, and I want to be used. There's always a place that we need help in the church. There's always a place that we all can do something. Sarah has handed out candy. Sarah has handed out free hot dogs. She can sit there and smile at people and have people come over just to talk to her. I was at a community event in Carterville a couple weeks ago helping my friend Marcy with a car show. Me and Sarah sat there giving out free hot dogs. And it is a witness because people see her and her beautiful smile and they see God in her. And they always say, I don't know how you do it every day. And it always gives me the opportunity to say, I don't. God does. His strength is perfect in my weakness. It is only in him and by him. God is so good. Find your bush. Push aside the distractions like Moses. Stop. Turn aside and see what God wants to do for you. Trust him. We all have a bush. Trust him. Yeah.